Species of Apollo 9.
Condition green.
We've landed on Mars.
Welcome to ReachMahjong.com's second live recorded broadcast from the World Series of Mahjong. With you is Garth Nelson and
Jen Parr
and
Mark Lim.
We have special guest Mark Lim with us. He was the qualifier from Mahjong Time. To the Reach Mahjong tournament at the Reach Mahjong circuit event, right?
Yes, at the World Series of Mahjong, and also
Oh, that's right. You also he also qualified for the main event.
Yes.
On Reach Mahjong Time.
Yes.
Way to go.
Played both events.
Yeah.
How was your experience at the World Series?
Well, I'll start with the Reach Mahjong event. Uh-huh. I was fortunate or unfortunate enough to play with Garth in the first game, right? And being my first tournament and all, so I was really nervous. You could ask Garth, my hands were shaking. But
shaking like a leaf, and yet you kicked ass.
Yeah, I started out with Mangan, so it's like,
yeah.
So that kind of helped settle things a little. So yeah, I mean, it was fun. It's for a first tournament, it was really fun. Didn't do so well in the main event though, but all in all, I think it was a great experience, and I'll definitely be here next year.
Yeah. Let's see, like getting your feeling on the Reach event. I have to say, I was really impressed with your play in the Reach event. My misfortune was to be at your table throughout the whole tournament, because you kept having one expensive hand after the other. It was just Mangan. What can you? Just talk a little bit about how your strategy when you came to the tournament. What were you trying to do? Like, what were you shooting for when you were playing in the Reach event?
I guess the strategy was basically to be a little bit more conservative, you know. Of course, starting out manga kind of helped the confidence a little bit. And, you know, you have some buffer points, so I tried to play a little bit safe, but yet go, you know, a bit more aggressive when the opportunity does present itself. Wasn't so aggressive on the Reach, you know, because I didn't want to lock up my cards too early. So that kind of provided that strategy sort of worked for me, on the Reach event. Yeah, and I mean, of course, I had the good fortune of Jen doing a Khan, which upgraded my Tanyao to a Mangan.
Oh, nice.
Of which Garth had the unfortunate experience of throwing immediately after, but it was a more conservative, but at the same time, you know, aggressive when the opportunity did present itself. But that having said, you know, the hands, the opening hands were pretty lucky in a way. Like, you know, you choose a direction and it flows, you know, relatively in that direction. You don't have too many, you know, oh my gosh, I should have done that earlier, or you know. So that always helps a lot. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you played good, solid mahjong. Like not like you got just lucky. It sounded like you had a plan, you stuck, and it worked out well. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit about the main event, since the main event is going on right now. Let's go to Jen.
Hey.
How was the main event for you?
I had a really good time. It was really, really fun this year. I saw a lot of people that I played with last year, which was really fun. I mean, all of the people that I love in the mahjong world were here. I mean, Garth was here, Gemma was here all the way from Germany. Shintaro Kono was here to help us out with the stuff. And, you know, it was a really, really great group. And so even outside of the tournament, you know, the whole experience has been a really good time. We went to the spa last night.
Yeah.
And that was really, really fun, I thought. Because it's just like everybody's sitting there getting massages, like, all right, we're going to kick ass tomorrow, which worked for Garth.
Well, not yet.
It's been a really great event. It's 10 times better than last year, and I'm so glad that we could be part of this. It's really good. I ended up losing in the last round, but I think that I had two mistakes, I think, that I saw, but I think I played really well overall, and, you know, I was getting a little bit unlucky. Well, I wasn't getting unlucky, it's just that I wasn't getting lucky.
Right.
And, you know, for tournaments, no matter what kind of game it is, you need luck to win any kind of tournament, whether it be even golf and stuff, you need luck. So when the luck's not on your side, it's not going to be a great result, but I'm really happy with the way I played. I'm really happy to see everyone here and see, you know, a lot of people recognize me from last year, and it's really fun to catch up, and I think it'll be a great tradition coming on.
Sounds like good times.
Yeah, let's talk about your main event, Garth.
All right, so let's see. Let's give everybody a little background on where we are in the main event. I think we've just finished the fourth round, right?
We finished the third round.
Third round, okay, that's right.
We're going to start the fourth round.
We're about to start the fourth round. That takes us down to 64 players. Yesterday we started with just under 300. Yesterday's first rounds were to take out, to get us down to 256. So the first round was not that big a, there was not that big a cut. I hate to say that because some nearby players actually missed that cut.
Yeah, plural. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I had the unfortunate experience of throwing, like, what? It was a 400-point hand. I paid out 400 points, 400 odd points. I think it might have been the biggest hand in the tournament. So, yeah, it's kind of disappointing result on that one.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's tough to come back from a 400-point loss.
Yeah.
You pretty much got to throw in your own 400-point winner after that, or else it's game over, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's how it goes in World Series. You know, the eliminations are quick, and I think kudos to Garth for hanging in there for so long. You know, I think it's a really great performance. So.
Thank you. Yeah. So that was yesterday, first round. This morning we started with 256. After the next round we're down to 128, and the last round we went from 128 to 64. Now, I have plus 160 points. That includes my 90 points that I got to carry over from last round. I think we haven't looked at the results yet, but I think I should be okay to go through to the next round. However, next round we only get to carry over 25% again. I think I'm going to be down with the in the middle of the field, if not towards the bottom of the field.
I think probably the middle. You'll be good in the middle.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, you know, that 25%, everybody gets lopped down to 20%, 25%. So even people who made up a, you know, say 800, 900 point gain last round, they're going to start next round with probably around 200 points.
Yeah. The thing is, the more you have, the bigger.
The bigger
cut,
your loss
the bigger
is, right?
You lose in the, when you go down to the next round.
And so, you know, in the end, like I say, I have 30 points and some of those guys have 200 points. That's only the difference of, say, one medium-sized hand.
Yeah.
Like one Sun Joker, or, you know, three-colored runs and piece, and then there's 120 points right there, and I've practically caught up because I'm taking at least 30 from those guys. So, you know, I'm thinking I've got it, and that's been my strategy pretty much the whole tournament, right? Go for expensive hands. In Reach Mahjong hands that we would call two hand point hands, like, for example,
three colored runs, full straight,
half flush, full flush. And also,
full
flush is a lot more, but yeah, it's, and I haven't actually got one yet. But
flush is like 100. That's not the 2 point. And even
right,
in Reach Mahjong, it's not 2 hand points.
All right, I'll stop saying that one then. And the outside hands. The outside hands have been especially useful for me. I've had at least two or three of them that I made, 130 points on, and I've made 120, 130 points on the full straight a few times, and I've had a couple. Three colored runs, and really those have been on the strength of those hands each round. That's been what has pulled me through to the next round. So I'm thinking it's gonna have to continue to be my strategy, but I have to say people have gotten a lot tighter since the first rounds. You know.
Well, actually, I didn't see that.
Really.
At my last table, there was one guy that was just all over the place. He was not tight.
I had a table, say, three tables ago, maybe. Yeah, three tables ago, there was one woman at our table that was just throwing everything. Like she couldn't wait to throw everybody's winning tiles. But except for that woman, one of the contrasts between the way people play here and the way people tend to play in Japan is people tend to play tighter before. Somebody has a chance to steal tiles. So they're not even really giving a chance to steal tiles in the first place.
Yeah.
Whereas people here do at least give one or two freebies before they then say, oh, okay, now I see what he's going for, and
right.
Then they tighten up. So it does make it a little bit easier, but it doesn't mean that once you... It means that once you open your hand up a little bit, people are onto you, and it's a lot harder to finish those in.
And that's something that's come out in the past few rounds, because yesterday it wasn't like that at all. It seemed like nobody was paying attention to the board. Everyone was just going for whatever they could anytime. They didn't, even if the person to your right, you know, had taken three different cracks from you. And you were still, there were still people throwing out cracks. I wasn't doing that, but there were definitely people doing that.
Right.
A lot yesterday.
That table three tables ago, that woman was doing that. I mean, the person obviously had an outside hand, and she's throwing outside tiles willy-nilly. She just couldn't wait to hit that guy's winner. But, you know, all right, let's take an example of one of the hands that I had last game. Oh, my God, a heart stopper. and I started out my first draw. I was already one away from ready. With a seven pairs hand, and I also had it set up so that I could even, if somebody threw the four of BAMs, I could chi it, and I would at least have a double run, and then I could be waiting for different stuff here and there. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm in good shape. All of a sudden, pawn, pawn, con, pawn, con, pawn, from the same guy. Like, the same guy's just like pawning, conning, pawning, conning. And by the seventh draw, he had all of his tiles pawned, and three of them were cons. So he's got three cons, four triples, and one of them was Hatsu. That's 160 points.
Green dragon.
Yeah, or the green dragon, yeah. 160 points. If he draws that, that's 160 points for me. That's my whole accumulated 160 points that I've worked all day today and yesterday to accumulate, and blam, just like that, down in one silly draw. And, I'm feeling that stress, and I look around at the rest of the players at the table, and they were clearly feeling the stress too. And suddenly, you know, it was a really, really tight game. Everybody was really paying attention to what that guy was throwing, what was on the table. They were looking for what he might be aiming for, what really seemed safe. And, we somehow managed to slog through that hand without throwing to him and without letting him draw his winner, which was pretty amazing and pretty stressful. I don't know if I have anything left for the last round today, but it was at least nice to make it this far.
Nice, way to go. I have a question. Have you
this is a question for me or Mark?
For you.
Okay.
We'll get to Mark some more in a little bit. I'm wondering if most of the field is Asian.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it is. Almost the entire field. I would say less than. Probably 5% or less is not Asian.
Very few faces from outside of Asia.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if you've, felt anything about that at all, or if people have said things to you. Of course, the it's generally a positive atmosphere. I'm not talking about, straight out racism or anything. I'm just wondering if, it's a generally Asian, and people from Asia, not even we come from America, not even Asian American, or we're used to being around Japanese. It's a very different atmosphere than we're used to playing Mahjong in. I'm just wondering if you've noticed anything special about this atmosphere.
Special about this atmosphere.
Or special about how you've been, have you been treated or anything? Not necessarily bad, just.
No, I think everybody has been pretty nice, pretty encouraging. I have to say, we're in China.
Yeah.
And I can't speak a word of Chinese, and the fact that everybody's willing to try to speak English for me, I'm pretty happy that people are willing to help me out there. I have no complaints at all about any of the treatment I've gotten.
I have a couple funny stories.
I remember.
Well, the thing is, I speak a little bit of Chinese because I studied in Taipei for 6 months. That's where I met Gemma, and where we started working together. I started teaching her Mahjong, and I think that we've written that on the website and stuff. So I speak a little bit. I can count, say the numbers, and that's mostly what you need in this game. And so, I'll do that, and I'll say hi to people and stuff, and then they just start talking to me in Chinese. And I can understand a few words, but I cannot answer them at all, and then I start to feel really bad because I want to talk to them. Especially yesterday we played with, there's an older lady in a wheelchair that comes and plays. Today, she was really sweet and we were playing together. And then today she came in, she's trying to tell me that I was playing really well and that we played together. And she gave me a big hand and I had to have the guy translate. But she was just, chatting away at me. And
it's the old problem of knowing just enough to get yourself into trouble.
Well, and I noticed, like, usually in Japan, if you just know a little bit, then they'll still speak English to you. But Chinese people tend to, if you speak a little bit, they'll tend to, you know, give you the Chinese practice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, huh. And so I really appreciate it. And I hope that I can improve my language skills for next year. But
there you go. Chances to practice.
It's just kind of funny to be in there. And then there's one other funny story, and maybe it sounds a little bit racist, but I didn't take it that way, and I really just laughed about it. But yesterday we were sitting there at the table, and the judge came over to write down our score, and he wrote it down, and then he looks at me and he says, "Now remember, there's no round wind." No, he didn't even say remember. He said, "There's no round wind in this game." And I wasn't the one who had won. I didn't pull any round wind, nothing. And I said, "Yeah, I know. You know, why did you tell me that?" I was just wondering why he picked me to tell that to instead of the other three people at the table. And he said, "Well, foreigners don't know that."
Thanks for finding me at the beginning of the tournament to tell me that.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
How do you think I got this far?
And that's part of the thing with such a small population of non-Asian people. But you know, I appreciate him. I showed him the patch. We have our Reach Mahjong patches on our shirts, and I showed that to him. And I'm like, "You know, I have a website. I do know a little bit about Mahjong, and I know the rules." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And then a couple of games later, he came up. He's like, "I remember the badge. You know how to play Mahjong." So he's a really nice guy, you know. So, like, I didn't feel offended or anything, but it was just kind of a funny story, I thought. You know, some things you run into as the minority in the tournament. And I think it's great because we're all breaking ground, and it's going to be really cool in the future.
Yeah. So sort of along the same lines, let me refresh my memory. Where, you're from Hong Kong? Or?
Singapore.
Singapore, okay, Singapore.
Yeah, Singapore.
And do you notice any major differences between the way people play in Singapore and the way people played here?
I guess the way Mahjong is played in Singapore, it is very different. I mean, we play with an extra set. We play with 148 tiles. You know, which consists of an additional a total of the standard 136.
So you've got 12 more tiles. That's flower tiles.
We have two sets of flowers and another four animal tiles.
So that animal tiles.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
it
puts
it
at 144. Is that?
144.
144 tiles. Yeah. So I mean, the animal tiles are basically similar to a bonus tile. What it does is, if you draw any of them, it gives you an extra point.
Kind of like Zora.
Yes,
like Lucky Dragons.
Kind of like a Zora, except that you don't even need to build your hand
around
after
it,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you just take it out, right?
Yeah. So
it's
Singapore.
It's like three player Mahjong.
Yeah. So what happens is that Singapore Mahjong, it tends to be really quick firing in that sense.
Uh-huh.
You know, so. Yeah, I mean, the hands are a little bit limited, so like, we don't play three color runs, we don't play the one color straights, you know. So you don't see that much variety in that sense. So transitioning for me from Singapore Mahjong to like playing, you know, Ritchie or even World Series was a bit of a challenge.
There's a little bit more to remember then. Huh?
Yeah,
huh.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess I was fortunate enough that it started with Ritchie earlier in the year. You know, so that helped a lot. You know, Ritchie is kind of good because it's not difficult to remember the additional hands, right? So I think if you ask me, you want to learn Mahjong, start with Ritchie. I think it helps right across the board. Yes. Yeah,
we gotta cheer anybody who advertises Reach Mahjong. So way to go! Yeah, way to go!
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna have gem talk. Yes.
Wait, I was gonna let.
Special opportunity here, since usually when we do the podcast, it's just me and Jen in Japan, but we have Gemma here.
Yes, and I was thinking, so why don't you go ahead and get started, ask Gemma a few questions, and then Garth has to get back to his game in half an hour, and he does want to have a beer, so we're gonna let Garth go. We're gonna let Garth go get a beer so he can go win us all money, and Gemma and I will handle the rest of the podcast from now. We'll probably do about 30 minutes today. So we got about 10 minutes left, and we'll let Garth get off early. And so you want to ask Gemma a question to just like transition
just
in here?
Transition in, okay. So you played yesterday.
Yes.
You were one of half of the people here who did not qualify for today. So you're in good company, actually. But how? What?
Thanks for cheering me up, mate.
Yeah. That's me. I'm a giver. Give. What happened yesterday? How did your tournament play out?
badly, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
But I'm so used to reach rules where you don't have to pay if you throw the tile.
Yes.
Whereas never threw the tile, but I was just losing minus 30, minus 30, minus 30. It just accumulated to fail.
I know. I have to agree. That is one of my major issues with the rules also. So.
That's my play style is defensive. And when you can't be defensive, what have I got left?
Yeah, right. And I have to say, there was a hand where, you know, like I was complaining about that woman a few tables ago, who everybody knows that it's an outside hand, and I knew when I drew a dangerous tile, like I held onto it, and then I managed to work my way back around to being ready to win, and then she just keeps throwing them, and I had to pay 30 points because she made a mistake. You know?
Exactly.
I don't know. It's tough to end up having to pay for other people's mistakes.
It did hurt.
All right. Well, there is always next year, right?
Yep.
And so. In encouraging the people to get here next year, that's your job for the next 10 minutes. Thanks for listening, folks. I'm out of here for a little while.
Okay. Good luck, Garth.
Good luck, Garth.
Okay. Me again.
All right. So here we are with Jem. Jem was actually in charge of our Reach tournament along with Shintaro Kono on Thursday. So how did that go? Can you just give us a little bit on... You know, how it was the first time ever running a tournament, right?
Yes, a very first time.
She did a great job, I must say.
Yeah, I would say too.
I would like to say it was Kono-san who managed to pull off most of it. I was just the translator.
Yeah, we vote for you. I would not know what was going on.
But I found that very rewarding to be able to translate for the English players and the Chinese players. So I felt that for once my degrees were useful in life. So that's always good.
Yes, Gemma is trilingual. She also translated all of the Reach rules for us into simplified and traditional Chinese, as well as, I had the information sheet translated by someone else, but she converted it into simplified for us. So she's our language expert, as well as the person who runs every other single thing on the website.
Ever multi-talented.
Yes. All right. Usually Garth runs this, so I'm not very good at this. We got our Starbucks here. What are you drinking, Mark?
It was ice vanilla latte.
Okay.
Yeah. Mark, courtesy of Jen.
No, not Jen. Gem.
Gem, sorry. Yeah.
Yes, Mark actually bought me a Starbucks earlier today.
I think I need to thank Mahjong Time for giving me the seat in the main event because I, A, would not have been able to afford it, B, probably did not deserve it. So, I'd like to thank them. And also, I have 4 new t-shirts that I can wear, pajama tops for the rest of the year until I come back.
Yeah, they got loads of that.
Nice. Okay, it's a little bit loud in here because we're in the public room at the World Series of Mahjong. We thought Garth was going to have to go home today, but he's actually staying, so we will be able to come to you live again tomorrow from the public room. We will be cheering on Garth. We will come back with all the results of all the important players that were in the tournament, including our Japanese players and the players from Europe, because there's a couple players from Europe that you listeners over there might know from Copenhagen last year that also qualified on Mahjong Time. I wonder if there is anything else to do. If you're in Macau by any chance, you should go ahead and come on down and play these rules in practice. It looks like we're going to have a lot more stuff for next year, so it's really exciting. Like, everybody has come up with nothing but positive comments about everything. I mean, like, Mark has given us lots of positive comments on the Reach tournament.
Thank you, Mark. Makes us feel better about ourselves, trust me.
And there was a lot of positive feedback, so hopefully we'll be able to do something like that again next year.
I think we've learned a lot as well, though. We've worked out some things that didn't work quite as well as we'd hoped. But we can, we can fix those. We're intelligent people.
So let's talk just a little bit about Macau, since people are going to be coming here next year and you want to know what you're going to get into. So Jem had a chance to go around the town a little bit today. What did you see?
So I took Kono-san over to the ruins of St. Paul's Cathedral or Church, I'm not sure it's...
Yeah, Cathedral.
Cathedral. So that was pretty interesting, actually seeing a little bit of Europe within this massive Chinese city. Well, it's not massive, is it?
No.
It's pretty big. But, that was pretty interesting. And also the disparity between all the streets. Some are very, small and some are very big. And some are very Chinese, some are very European. And so many languages and cultures going on here. They speak Portuguese, right?
Yep.
Portuguese, Mandarin, Cantonese, most people speak English to at least, you know, a level that you can communicate with them. It's a pretty exciting place, I think. And Hong Kong's just across the water.
Yeah.
I love Hong Kong.
Yeah, me too.
One of the bestest places ever. So, you mean, if you came here next year, I would definitely recommend coming here, playing some Mahjong, seeing a bit of Macau, and then hopping over to Hong Kong and getting fantastic shopping.
Yeah,
that's what I'm doing after this.
And food. Wow, Hong Kong has some of the... I think it's the best mixture of food in the world, in my personal opinion. Now, I've been to Europe, and I gotta say, I'm sorry, but I was not impressed with Danish food. And
there is nothing wrong with meat and potatoes.
Yeah, but Jen's not been to Singapore yet, so...
Okay. Well, I'm going next year, and I'm gonna call up Mark, and he's gonna take me around.
Yeah.
Did you try some of the beef jerky, the special Macau beef jerky?
Yes.
On the street? How was that?
Delicious.
That is my favorite
Love
snack.
Love street meat.
Yes. That is awesome as well.
Especially for European players. I'm not sure about Americans because of the dollar situation, but for Europeans, this place is dead cheap. I love it. You know, even the most expensive places, I'm laughing because it's cheaper than a McDonald's. So let's...
We also went to the spa last night. How was that, Jem?
Oh, beautiful. Massages, had a pedicure, and it's all...
Cheap.
Dead cheap. And everyone's so lovely. I mean, I get along a little easier because I speak Mandarin quite well. So I can talk to some of the people and they're all really nice and friendly. But Jen's found no problem. I mean...
Yeah, they can speak Mandarin and they can just, like, talk back at me without me understanding. Absolutely.
But everyone's just so accommodating and a nice smile and that's it. You're away. Everyone's happy. We're all friends, so...
Good. Mark, did you have a chance to get out at all?
No, unfortunately not yet. I've been playing the Reach event on the first day and then playing the main event on the second day. I kind of thought I'd just take the day off today and, you know, hang around, support my friends, come on the podcast, yeah. So yeah, support the Reach Mahjong players, you know, so.
Fantastic. You're coming back next year, right?
Yes, definitely. Definitely
Great.
Coming back next year.
So how about your fiance? Is she still here?
I think she went to the Pokies machine. Which is not good because, you know, considering that I didn't win, yeah.
She's winning the money for you.
Yeah, let's hope.
All right, well, I didn't get my bungee jumping in yesterday before the main event because I didn't wake up in time. We were so exhausted from the event the day before and all the preparations and playing in Hong Kong all of last week. But we do have a date tomorrow with some other VIPs, which we will disclose tomorrow at the jump. Gemma's going to be there reporting. She promised to go up if I jump off, although she will not step on the glass floor. If anyone is here and they want to come join us for the jump, just send me off an email and I'll give you all the information. It's going to be tomorrow, Sunday morning, at Macau Tower, which is the highest bungee jumping platform in the world. Which is why I want to do it. And I am so afraid of heights, and I think I'm going to die.
I'm going to laugh.
How about you, Mark? You want to do it?
Don't throw up.
You want to do it?
Oh, yeah, why not?
All right, we got it. Mark is going to bungee jump with us off Macau Tower with a Reach Mahjong patch on, and we are going to have a great story. We might have to try and get some videotape on this.
Yeah, I have to admire your persuasive attitude, you know?
Nobody can resist Jen.
Oh, you're so sweet. Okay, I think that's it. We're going to wrap it up for today. Was there anything else you wanted to say? This may be your last time on the podcast for a while.
I was about to say, what are you doing to me? No, you have to come next year, everybody. I don't see you here next year. I'm going to be very disappointed. I know some of your names from the site, so I'll come and find you. Germany's not too far away from most of you.
You have any? Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Mark.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. I'd like to take this opportunity to especially thank my fiancé, Stephanie, for letting me take time off from our wedding preparations, which is next month, you know, to actually come down here and play this event. It was great fun, you know, nice meeting all of you in person. Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yay, thank you very
thanks
much.
Thanks for coming.
And now I'm going to go with fellow Mahjong pro in Japan, Yoko Watanabe, and we're going to go play some blackjack since we both busted out today and represent the girls of Japan. So thanks for listening and we'll see you tomorrow.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties with all the lies that you've been